We kick off hour number three of the program. This segment brought to you by Cataloochee Ski Area. Check them out online at cataloochee.com. Head over the mountain. Enjoy some skiing before winter's gone.
Had a friend check it out last week for the first time he had ever gone snowboarding.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Enjoyed
it.
Good. A lot of people don't realize that it's that close by.
I didn't realize he was going, and then I was talking to him as I was headed to the casino.
I was
going to
say, it's on the way, right?
Yeah,
you go through Maggie Valley.
You can see it, yeah. So I was like, oh.
Looky there.
I was probably looking up and saw you passing down the mountain at some point.
You can see the mountain from the casino?
No, but on the way.
Right.
I mean,
you got right past it.
Yeah, like
right
you can see it had gotten dark, actually, so we probably weren't there at the same time, but you could see the lights of where they.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about there. Yeah. Because you kind of have to, you get off the interstate. The nice thing is it's all four lane right there.
Mm-hmm.
So you just go four lane and then turn right at that main light. You kind of are going around the mountain and then you get to the foot and just right up, you're there.
I don't wonder if I should go back to the casino this weekend.
Easy peasy.
Do it.
You can. Oh, no, that's next Sunday when you won't have a game Saturday. So you could do it Saturday.
Well, the game's noon to this Saturday. So,
right.
I mean, it
so
should
you
be
go
done
back
fairly
to back,
early.
You can casino it up back to back Saturdays.
Little VR to the casino. Boom.
I don't even need to stop at the ATM. Still got enough money from the last time I went.
Oh, humble brag by you. Mm. Not that humble, though.
Let's go to the phone lines. We got Westchester on the horn. What's up, Westchester? You're on the G3 Help Me Hotlines.
Good morning, 3 and Pout. How we doing?
Oh, we're doing fine.
Not too pouty.
No, you're actually not too pouty today.
We're trying.
Listen, since we have absolutely nothing else to talk about, I want to talk about Houston for a minute about this this fishing tournament and fishing tournaments in general as far as how they work. And
okay.
I mean, you know, we've worn basketball and football out at this point. So
yeah, there's not much going on.
I mean, are these guys, is there like a fence on where they're allowed to fish? Or are they geo-tracked, or is it just anywhere that you can get your boat, like, from dam to dam?
Basically, it's anywhere dam to dam. Some tournaments will have, like, an off-limits area, or some certain areas will be off-limits, but, like, a lot of tournaments that go out of Loudoun and Teleco, they'll actually allow people to lock down and fish Watts Bar, but this tournament is specifically Loudoun and Teleco only. And, if you can get your boat to it, you can fish it.
And then, I'm not, you know, pro animal. I mean, I grew up fishing. I'm not against fishing tournaments, but I'm just curious. Are we almost there technology where we can somehow weigh and verify a catch when we catch it instead of, you know, carrying it around all day and then dumping them all in the same spot?
Yes, and I would imagine in the next few years, Westchester, a lot of these tournaments will go to that. The problem is having enough, they call them marshals. There's a couple tournament series right now where you have a marshal.
Marshals is a good movie.
Okay, thank you, Davey. You have a certified scale in the boat, and you catch the fish, you weigh the fish, and they just write down the weight, they log the weight, and then the fish is immediately released. There's some tournaments they do every year in Texas where that's the case. Then they keep one to weigh in because a big crowd shows up, so they keep their biggest fish of the day. But a lot of tournaments are going to that style where you weigh your fish, you record it, and then you just release the fish. It's just, like, for a tournament like this Elite Series, like, they could do that because every angler has to have a marshal in the boat anyway. It's just tough for, you know, like, one of the local trails where there's 250 boats, you know, somebody could theoretically cheat if they didn't have somebody kind of keeping tabs on them.
And what is the point of the marshal? What are they looking, I mean, like, how can you get in trouble? Like, what are they verifying?
For this tournament, for example, it's just to make sure that, you know, you don't have six fish in a live well, you can only have five, that you put your life jacket on, a bunch of just little kind of stupid rules or whatever, just to make sure that, you know, the guy's not cheating somehow. Like, there was a guy a long time ago in, I want to say, California, who stuffed, like, lead weights down the throat of the fish so that he would have more weight at the end of the day. And he got caught by, it wasn't a marshal, it was like a co-angler that just witnessed him do it and kind of told on him. It's just to make sure that they don't do anything illegal or stupid.
You're at it.
Gotcha. So it's one. It's one person competing in the marshal and the boat, and that's it. Or is it ever teams or like? And I guess that varies by tournament, right?
Yeah, it varies by like. I have a team tournament tomorrow where me and a buddy will fish together on Cherokee. But these guys, since it's a professional series, everybody gets either a marshal or a cameraman who also counts as a marshal.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks for the information.
That's what I'm here for.
Tomorrow. Try to stay dry.
that's not going to happen. It's going to be it's going to be a downpour. I'm just glad it's not going to be like 35 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all have a good weekend. Thanks for what you do.
Thanks Wes Chester. Appreciate it, bud. Oh man, fishing question.
There,
love
there
that.
Yeah.
I like that. Big fan.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan of that.
You gonna win tomorrow?
No.
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 You say that every time. Then you win some.
Well, I'd like to win. It's just a big tournament.
Oh, yeah. This is a big one, right?
Yeah, it's 120, 150, 60 boats, depending.
Is it kind of like poker where...
Go on.
Yeah, obviously you have to be really skilled to win, but you need a little luck, too. Just kind of hitting the right spot, the right time, the right fish.
Yeah,
like you're giving yourself the most chances to win, kind of, if you're a good
fisherman. Yeah, I mean...
But actually, like finishing kind of near the top a lot kind of proves you're a good fisherman. But whether you, like, finish first or fifth, kind of sometimes it's just lucky.
Well, it's like you set the hook on a big fish, and it jumps and just happens to throw the bait or it breaks your line or something like that. That's bad luck. Now, there are certain things you can do to ensure that that doesn't happen, but, I mean... Let's say there's two fish sitting on a stump, and I throw a bait there, and the small one happens to eat my bait. That's just bad luck.
Yeah,
I mean, you don't see that. You don't know that. But, yeah, there's definitely some luck involved.
Look at three-putt Smitty just winning today. Three in trout, he said.
Three. It's a bass tournament, though. Jeez.
That bass doesn't rhyme.
Kiss my – never mind.
Bass.
Yeah, I know. That was you didn't really have to finish it. It was pretty much implied. One in Stripe says, I guess Houston's not a major league fishing fan. No, I like that. I actually like the idea of weighing the fish and immediately releasing it. I would prefer all tournaments did that way.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, then you don't have to worry about your live well and all that stuff, right?
Like, mm-hmm.
You just fish.
Right. There's no fish management. You don't have to worry about them.
That's normally what you're doing if you go fish the day for fun, right? You're just trying to catch it, get a good picture with it.
Let it go.
Note how much it weighs. You can... tell people and then put it back.
Exactly.
All right.
Fantasy fishing. That might be the next thing we have to get into on the show.
Oh, is FanDuel going to start running fishing? Is there fishing betting yet?
No. Wonder if they do that, though.
I mean, why wouldn't they?
I'll make a call.
Get on the old Watt Defoe train.
I'll make a call, see if we can't get that happening.
Who you got in this tournament? Who would be your fantasy fishing picks?
It's like, for example, this is a southern tournament. There's a lot of local guys, and the guy who's leading it is from Ontario, Canada. So, I mean, he's really good, and the last couple years he's been kind of on fire, but it's so tough. I played it one year. I was terrible. It's just hard.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to think. Like, Brandon Card. There was one Tennessee angler yesterday. I think he caught one fish. Like, he's from West Tennessee, and he was, like, a top pick, and he only caught one fish yesterday. It's just tough, man. Not to mention a lake like this. It's just – it's brutal. This lake specifically is a very tough lake to predict. That's why when Ott won the Classic here a couple years ago, that was kind of – he was a favorite, but this lake is just not kind for 3 or 4 day tournaments. It's very hard to duplicate, whereas – certain lakes like in Texas or Florida, you can do the same thing every day and you're going to have a pretty good chance. This lake, you kind of got to mix it up.
So kind of like the Masters is easier to predict than the Open. Like the Open, there's always some random nobody that's leading after 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And it always seems to be a question of can they hang on? Do they have the, you know, the gut to finish it off? And then there might be some challengers. There might be some other guys you never heard of kind of in there, just depending on the weather.
Brandon Lester was the name. One in Stripes just clued
Brandon
me in.
All right.
Yeah,
let's go to the phone lines. We got Berto on the horn. What's up, Berto?
Morning, gentlemen.
Morning, Berto.
You excited for 3 p.m.?
No.
I don't know. Some people think still a chance.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, I tweeted this earlier, but you know, there's in the recruiting circles, there's such thing. You know, it's funny, he starts getting Bama crystal balls, what, the day after he gets the Bama bump or the Clemson climb, I call it, or the Georgia jump.
Yeah, now, in five stars, boom.
Yeah, oh, Nick Saban, his staff totally, 100% does that.
Yeah.
100% they call those guys and say, hey, so-and-so's coming here. I need them to have an extra star bump. That 100% happens, and if you don't think it does, you're fooled.
I think it happens that way, and I think it happens the other way, where they're like, oh, that kid went to Bama, and we only had him as a four-star? He's probably a five.
Well, that, and then, you know, if he was going to Tennessee, he would have hit the Tennessee tumble.
Yep.
I mean, so no, he's not coming here. So, hell no, I'm not excited. Just over 5.5 hours from now, say 5 hours, 45 minutes from now, people are going to be really upset.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the first huge loss of the Josh Hype L situation. Look, I don't think he's a bad guy. He actually seems like a pretty nice guy, which I don't know if you can be in coaching nowadays. He seems like a guy that really does want to be here. Those are all things that are true. But he just got too late in on this kid.
Mm-hmm.
This kid would actually probably be a decent fit in his offense, honestly.
No, he would. He can move around a little bit, good arm, yeah.
But I don't think he's coming here. He is a little short. Nobody's really saying that. He's a little short. And he says 6'2". That's in cleats and a helmet, guys. He's 6 feet tall. I mean, I've seen the kid in person. He's 6 feet tall. And again, I'm not hating on the kid. He's an elite quarterback. There's no question. But, you know, a lot of people are sleeping on Sam Horn. Horn might actually be the best quarterback in the class. He's really good. And if we air quotes tumble down, if he's our secondary or our tertiary guy that we end up with, we're going to be real happy. I think he can really play.
Yeah, that's what I said in hour one, Berto. If we fall to Sam Horn as a contingency plan, that's still a really good get.
Yeah, he's Caden Salter or better level, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. Now, Salter may fit the offense better. He's more mobile. I don't think Horn is extremely mobile, but he has a howitzer attached to his right shoulder blade. I mean, that kid can sling a football. And as far as the tournament, you know, I want to shift focus right quick. The tournament, I think it's so interesting. We finally figured out how Rick Barnes is going to get out of the round of 32. We're gonna, you know, end up a five, catch the worst 12, beat the worst 12, and then I guess it would be on that side. It would be the 4 and the 13 both get the COVID like 3 days before the tournament and can't play, and or they're going to get it on. They're going to test positive on a Sunday, and they can't play for 7 days, and our game is on the Saturday, and that's how Rick Barnes is getting to the round of 16. We figured it out, gentlemen. That's how we figured it out. Because Rick Barnes right now, and I know people don't want to hear this, I think he is an elite developer of talent. I think he's a great recruiter, and I think he is, I won't use the word abysmal, but he is very bad in-game. The next time he calls a timeout to stop another team's run will be the damn first time that happens. It's starting to wear on me like I never thought. The three-point thing, like we brought up a million times with me and Nate here, like that's one thing. But the lack of attention to calling a timeout, well, I'm just going to let him play through it. You know, you've let him play through it now for 4 years, and it's clear your teams can't play through it. They can't. And that falls back again to the coaching. And everybody's like, Berto, why are you so on Rick Barnes? You know, all my friends say it. He makes $5 million freaking American dollars, people. He should be able to call a timeout in the midst of a 15-point run against any team in America. It's not that hard. Guys, I hope you have a great day. I would like to see Tennessee beat Auburn tomorrow, but we know that's not happening. Take care.
That could happen. We're favored. What do you mean it's not going to happen? They're 5-10 in the conference.
The frustrating thing about runs against a Rick Barnes team is we're usually so good defensively that it's not like they score 15 in a minute. It takes like 5 minutes of us going scoreless.
Now, the problem is we can't score.
Right.
It all goes back to our offense.
Which is also his fault.
Of course.
So
it's all his fault.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we've given him the credit for making us a top 25 team year in, year out. paying him top five money.
Mm-hmm.
$5 million doll hairs. I mean, Roberto said it. Now we find out. Tomorrow, Bruce Pearl and Auburn host Rick Barnes in Tennessee. 12 o'clock. High noon. ESPN. Run down the rest of the SEC schedule. Get you set for the weekend. Stick with us right here. It's Hour 3 continues on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Pick you up some White Claw. Enjoy your weekend. 5% alcohol by volume. Delicious flavors. It won't weigh you down. It's White Claw Hard Seltzer made pure.
Oh, the bites are picking up. They are loading the boat out there. And the rain settled in, too. That's lovely. Poor guys. That's rough. Just rough.
Man.
Man, what?
I was just reading a tweet and thinking about the NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
It said people who hate responsibility love the COVID restrictions. Goes beyond them staying at home to stay safe. They want you and I stuck at home, too, so they don't get FOMO.
Mm.
So I was wondering if any of these college coaches, they're a little scared, might just, you know, can't play. Made the tournament. Give me my extension, but don't want to lose to that 12 seed. They're pretty dangerous. We'll just go ahead and take the opt out.
If you've done it this long into the season, surely you're not going to just say, we finally reached our goal and made the tournament. Let's sit it out. That would not make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Just my thoughts on the matter.
Yep. It's going to be wild, though, if teams drop, like you said, in that 48-hour window. Or just, are you going to have a team, though, that, like, literally wins their first game and then, like, wins the next two by default? That'd be nuts. Like, all of a sudden, you've won one game.
Yeah, we were talking about that during the break. You'd stepped out, like, you make the Sweet 16 not playing a game and then lose. Like, do you get credit for that? Like,
the banner?
Yeah, add another date to the Sweet 16. I mean, could you make a Final Four and not play a game? It seems unlikely, but I guess it's possible based on the current situation. Let's see here. Oh, good. Good. Anna Hickey, the Clemson insider who had her crystal ball to Clemson.
Yeah.
Has switched it to Alabama.
Yeah, which is great.
In case anybody is still wondering where Ty Simpson might end up. Looks like he's going to Alabama. Sweet.
Would you like it better if these insiders just like never knew, didn't know, and just you just had a complete surprise?
I don't
mind
if they have a crystal ball from like, you know, 3 months ago, but when it's announcement day and they all put them in, it's kind of like, guys, like you being right today
doesn't
mean you were like. It just feels like you're stealing the kid's thunder a little.
Yeah,
bit.
Yeah, like are we? What is the point?
I'm kind of glad though. Like now I know I don't have to watch it.
Like, what is the point of the crystal ball in your mind? Is it for me? It should be. This is where I think this kid will end up. I'm trying to predict. It's like me. It's like if I say on the show today, I think Tennessee will beat Auburn tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Like that's a prediction. And you guys can all, if Auburn kills us, you're like, ha-ha, Nate, you were so wrong. Or if Tennessee wins.
What they're doing today is like Tennessee's up by 20 with 5 minutes to go, and they say Tennessee's definitely going to beat all. It's like,
yeah, we know.
Bro, thanks. Awesome.
Yeah, like.
Like Houston was wrong about Kentucky last weekend.
You just love bringing that up. Like, we were all wrong. We all picked Tennessee. They lost. It happens.
But you picked them by 15 to 20.
Yeah, I was wrong, and it's okay. It happens.
Our point
it's the nature
is,
of the business.
It's like someone else.
I put myself
else.
Out there. I took a risk.
It's
out.
Like you.
Yeah, your lock of the week.
Saying that Kentucky's going to win like 30 seconds before the final buzzer. Like, obviously, yeah, you know. You have the information now. Timing is important. Timing is everything. Sometimes they say. No, it's just.
Oh.
Mike Greenberg's going to do the NFL draft broadcast for ESPN.
NFL, gotcha.
Broadcasting note. I wonder who's on the game tomorrow for
Oh, no.
It's ESPN. It's noon.
No, Dickie V can't get up that early. Surely not.
Well, he's probably on a quote-unquote bigger game, right?
Yeah, hopefully. You're probably right.
hopefully. You got so games tomorrow in the top 25. Michigan at Indiana, noon. Don't even say what TV that's it on. I don't know if that's whatever. CBS, Texas at Texas Tech at noon. Of course, you got Tennessee, Auburn, ESPN at noon.
Mm-hmm.
And then at 2 o'clock ESPN, Illinois at Wisconsin from the Kohl Center. LSU, Arkansas, big SEC matchup at 2 on ESPN2. So if you want to keep watching basketball after Tennessee gets done, that's a big one in the SEC. Has implications. Tennessee. Do we want Arkansas to win that so that, like, are we just kind of going to punt the 2 seed to Arkansas since they're a game ahead of LSU?
Might as well.
Is that right? Alabama, Arkansas, LSU. I guess that'd be better.
Yeah. I would like to be opposite the bracket of LSU. That's where I'd like to be.
Oh. Well, you should be fine there. You're going to be on Alabama's side.
I welcome that challenge.
Yeah.
I welcome Alabama right now. I don't really want Arkansas. I don't really want LSU.
Yeah, we're looking like, I mean, if we're 4 or 5, we'll avoid Arkansas and LSU. I think, though, it'd be better if Arkansas just goes ahead and keeps winning and takes the 2.
Yeah.
And then I guess that game really doesn't matter if you just want to be the 4. If you'd rather be the 4 than the 3. Which that's kind of a weird take, but whatever.
I'd be okay with that.
Well, if you're the 3 in this scenario, you'd be matched up with Arkansas, not LSU. They would have fallen to the 4. So we definitely want Arkansas to win tomorrow no matter what.
I mean, I know they're – sorry. I know they're playing a lot better right now, but Arkansas doesn't really scare me. We handled them pretty well and didn't even play that good of a game. I just really don't want to play LSU. Like, that's – and Kentucky early just because
– No, I think you're good. So we need Arkansas to beat LSU. You got Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, ABC at 3, Kansas State, West Virginia, Florida State, North Carolina, Wake Forest, Virginia Tech, Boise State at number 22 ranked San Diego State. Creighton, 13th ranked Creighton at Xavier on Fox at 5. A lot of good basketball tomorrow. 6 o'clock, Alabama travels to Mississippi State. See, we just want Alabama to win all their games too because, like, we don't want any of these teams climbing to drop us down to 5 or 6 or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Loyola Chicago is 21st in the country. They're hosting Southern Illinois. Big one, 8 o'clock. This is probably your Dickie V game. Maybe. It's definitely, or maybe this is Jay Billis. Allen Fieldhouse, Fog Allen, Baylor.
We'll have Beth Mowins and Daylon Cuff.
Beth Mowins. That's not your fault. I like Beth Mowins on the call.
A lot of people hate her.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think she's bad.
Baylor at Kansas, 8 o'clock, ESPN. It's a big game.
Is it?
I mean, 17.
Kansas is still at 17?
Yeah, they're 11-6 in the Big 12. It's good for us. They win.
Weren't they on like a 4 out of 5 game skid there in the middle? I guess they figured it out.
Dickie V will be on the Oklahoma State at Oklahoma call.
All right, there we go.
Avoided that one.
Yeah. So
I'll take it.
Good. I can watch Baylor and Kansas and listen to it too. 8 o'clock. Nightcap.
And listen to it, yeah. Don't need to mute that one.
Yeah, it's great. And then I promised the listeners the, let's see if there's any other SEC games outside. I mean, the crummy ones. Where teams aren't even in the top 25. Come on.
You laugh.
We're 25th, that's why.
Yeah.
South Carolina at Georgia's at 1, and Ole Miss, Vanderbilt, 3:30. Florida at Kentucky is on CBS at 4, which is weird. Neither's ranked. And that's it.
Do we need Kentucky to win that one?
Oh, yeah.
Keep Florida off our heels?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. It depends. Are we going to win or lose? As long as
tomorrow,
just to the last 2. If we're gonna win, then yeah, we want.
I think we can win both.
So can if we, but if we lose both, then Kentucky might catch us, passes.
Really?
I don't know. I don't know what the tiebreaker. It'd be a mess. The standings are all janky because nobody's played the same amount of games.
Right.
That Florida Tennessee game looks like it'll be for the 4, but obviously it depends on what happens with them in Kentucky today and then
tomorrow.
You know, our game next Sunday or whatever, 7th. We got Alabama at 13-2, Arkansas's 10-4. So, I mean, you're not catching them. You only got 2 games left, right? LSU's 9-5, Florida's 8-5. You're 9-6, we're in Tennessee 9-6. Ole Miss is 8-7. Missouri 7-7, Kentucky 7-7. So if we lose two, and any of those teams somehow only finish with seven losses, we might end up behind them. That's 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th place. We win the last two, I think you have a really good shot at being 4th, because Florida's got to play Kentucky, and then they'd have the loss to us, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what tiebreakers would be if we beat Florida and end up exactly tied. I have no idea who's ahead with the split.
Yeah, I don't know how they do that.
We'll have to see. We did beat Arkansas, right?
Yeah.
So if they go top down, then in any head-to-heads that are matched up, as long as the other team we're matched up with didn't beat Alabama, then we would have it, if that's the criteria they use. I don't know. Come back with more. Stick with us. Hour three, final week, hour of the day of the week right here on Fan Run Radio. Underneath the mountain
moonlight. Boo.
Welcome back into Fan Run Radio. This tune goes out to Ty Simpson.
Come on, it's a Tennessee song.
And hopefully he picks Tennessee.
He won't.
Why not? You got a Vol leave, Chris. He might shock the nation.
I like it.
Dave, you have the drop ready.
No.
he's.
It's just a waste of time.
The announcement will come at 3 p.m., so...
The drive would be lit. It's gonna be the dribble's gonna be pretty pouty if he puts that Tide hat on. What's weird is it's gonna be all these Tennessee fans in there. It's gonna be rough, man.
Yeah, he's making the best decision for him.
I don't know, dude.
It's our rival, but
dude, the last time I remember this happening with guys I know from back home.
Mm-hmm.
And I even mentioned this school earlier. One in Stripes asked me if this player was on the team when I was there. It was a little bit before. But Marcus Lattimore announced that his church in Duncan, South Carolina,
mm-hmm.
all South Carolina fans, it was between South Carolina and Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn had just come off of, like, Cadillac, Ronnie. I mean, like,
yeah, yeah.
The running, the, like, and he had Stephen Davis, I think? That ran for the Redskins, and had been an Auburn
Davis
alum.
Sounds right.
I think that's right. And he was from South Carolina originally, mm-hmm. too. He had him walk out during the announcement, and he had his Auburn hat and a South Carolina hat or whatever on the table, and then, like, he hands him the Auburn hat, and this entire church is all Gamecock fans. Lattimore grew up a Gamecock fan.
Mm-hmm.
He puts the Auburn hat on, then takes it off the top because there was a South Carolina hat on underneath, and he just couldn't do it. He couldn't go Auburn and go against the home state school. How'd that turn out? Pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good.
Maybe Ty's pulling the big old okie doke.
I mean, it's Martin though. Like, is that? Of his friends and family Tennessee fans? I mean, his dad's the coach at UT Martin, but is that?
I mean, the VolQuest guy said it's going to be a room of Tennessee fans. Yes, that's our only hope. That's our only hope, is that he cannot put on an Alabama hat in front of an entire place filled with Tennessee fans.
But if he does, I hope people remain calm
and we just beat his ass eventually. Right, like we.
Oh
just,
yeah, I'd love to beat Alabama, like, once in the next 4 years. That'd be great.
Like maybe his junior year, he's the starting quarterback, and we rough him up and sack him a bunch. And
I don't know if we have to rough him up.
I just meant we actually get to the quarterback. I don't mean like Greg Williams style.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. No.
Just making sure.
No. Just, you know, we're able to get his jersey dirty.
Marcus Lattimore style.
Oh my God! Turn your mic off.
That's too far.
You're talking about Lattimore.
That was a clean play, just bad luck.
Yeah.
Wow, Dave.
I really don't know what we're talking about.
If we can tell. We can tell.
What do you want to talk about,
Dave? I'm not
wishing
anyone injury.
Lady Gaga's dogs.
I was going to give an update.
Do we have an update?
Yes, I do.
Oh, my God. Oh,
really? You have an update?
Yeah, there is no update.
Okay. Still lost.
You're really on your P's and Q's.
The update is there is no update.
Who would take a person's dogs? So,
So bad. Someone who wants $500,000.
I would question the guy who shot the other guy four times first before taking the dogs, but yeah. Like, motives behind, like, oh, they're stealing the dogs, but then they're shooting someone four times and then stealing the dogs.
Mm. Fair.
No, I don't know. That'd be a big one. Be a big switcheroo.
I do think it would make a lot of heads turn nationally with other recruits. And just maybe even the talking heads regarding Josh Heupel. Like, whoa, whoa, whoa. How did you do that so fast? But, again,
doesn't like, I don't –
here's my thing. I'm not going to blame Josh Heupel at all if Ty Simpson chooses Alabama. Like, he got here late.
Oh, no, yeah. I'm not
– you know, up against it. Timeline didn't help. I'm sure he's – I mean, they said he's, what, FaceTimed him, like, 20 times or something? Like, or called him 20 times and FaceTimed him. But, like, he's doing his job. He's trying. It's just, you know, it's a bad situation. They're defending national champs. They undefeated. Quarterback is went from a guy that we thought was garbage to a first-round pick. You got five-star talent all over the field to throw to hand it off to. I get it. Yeah, it's a bummer. It's the easy way out, but it's also probably – it might not end up being the best decision, but can you find flaw? Though. Right, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not a flawed decision.
Right. Like, are you saying he should probably go to Clemson?
What do you mean?
You're saying it's not the best decision.
No, I'm saying long term. Like, I don't know. He might be better if he might have a better career if he went to Clemson.
People don't want to hear this, but I would say long term, your best decision is not to come here. Like, I mean, there are a lot of other options.
We know. You hate Tennessee. They're not good, and I understand that. But Tennessee could be his best option. He could come here in year two under the Heupel offense, and he's just wheeling and dealing, and offense takes off, puts up a bunch of yards and points. It could happen, but the more likely scenario is that he goes to Alabama or Clemson and has a good career. Probably doesn't see the field until year three or four down there. But there's no flaw in the decision.
Roberto says, for what it's worth, Tuscaloosa is closer to Martin than Martin is to Knoxville. Mm-hmm. Bama wins on distance, program health, NFL trajectory, yada, yada. The room full of all fans, UT's only hope. And then Brian, just to clean up some stuff earlier, Brian tweeted and I appreciate this. He said, the guys who would normally be gone, you know, due to graduation, end of eligibility, but have an extra year because of COVID and have transferred, are included in that list of 25 transfers.
Yeah.
So we've got the list of guys in the portal, 6 walk-ons, and 9 guys who would have been out of eligibility already. So, like Garantano and people like that.
Right.
So, it's probably not that dire.
Well, he would have been out. He's got 1 year. He's going to Washington State.
Whatever.
Okay. Sorry.
He wasn't a senior last year?
No, because COVID year.
So what we're saying is in a normal year, he'd be gone.
Oh, yes. Yes, in a normal. Yeah. I thought you meant.
So we're counting him as one of the 25.
Right.
We talk about Washington State's quarterback getting in trouble.
Yeah, we mentioned it last week. DUI, right?
Well, they got an SEC signal caller coming in, so that's not going to be a problem.
Yeah. The highlight video they put out of JG was, Lord, I don't want to say comical.
Dual threat, man.
Number one ranked dual threat in the nation.
So, yeah, it's not like we're losing 25 guys that would have all been able to play here this year in a normal season.
Right.
Some of those are extra eligibility years, which helps with your total 85 number. Mm-hmm. That's what we were trying to get at earlier. So there you go. You're set up. We'll give you some basketball picks, get you all set for the weekend. Coming back next. Stick with us. It's Fan Run Radio. Final segment of the day of the week right here on 3 and Out. We got more Fan Run programming for you the rest of the day, obviously. Full coverage of the Ty Simpson announcement. Our guy Chad Withrow will be down there. I think Hutton's going with him.
Yeah, I think they both are.
Yeah. Westview High School, Martin, Tennessee. Somebody replied back and said one time Gene Stallings was told to get. Don't even try that. Recruit our boys. Be nice if it was like that these days.
We shall see. Boy, that would be just based on the news the last couple days and then the crystal balls rolling in this morning. Yeah, it would be an all-timer. Huh.
I feel like quarterbacks are the least likely position to surprise everyone, though, right? Like usually it's those defensive guys.
It's linebackers, D linemen. Yeah, you're right.
They like to play the game.
Wide receivers too. Like the little drama queens.
They want their attention.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really blame the defensive guys. I mean, they don't get that much attention on the stats pages and stuff. It's their one moment to shine.
No, you're right.
I always love when it's the LSU Auburn Alabama battles, where it's like we haven't really been in it, so I don't care that much. And one of them just like that one guy. He went to Alabama or LSU? One or the other. And the mom is just like she is about to kill him with her eyes. Like she didn't know. I love it when the parents don't even know which one they're gonna pick.
Wasn't it Alex Collins, the running back for Arkansas? He picked Arkansas, and his mom like lost it.
Yeah, she like wouldn't sign his LOI.
Yeah, wouldn't sign his LOI and all that. And then there's the new Keith Richardson story where he had already signed his paperwork and like it was in a desk in like back at home, and everyone thought he was going to Florida, and then he puts the Tennessee hat on, and Tennessee already had his paperwork, like he'd already faxed it.
Thank goodness. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, that really worked out for us. Thank goodness.
You never know like what could happen after they announce. So you don't have the paperwork.
Just write down the number. We'll pick him up tomorrow.
Yeah, on signing day, Collins' mother provided some momentary drama when she refused to sign the LOI for him to attend school at Arkansas, then ran away with the LOI. She wanted Collins to stay close to home and attend the University of Miami. The drama ended the next day when Arkansas head coach Brett Bielema faxed another LOI to Collins, which was signed by his father.
That's right. He had to go like across town or a couple towns over to go find his dad. Because I guess they were split up or whatever. But, yeah, it was, like, a really big deal. She just, like, took the LOI and vanished.
I feel like you can't print another one. Like, it would have been better for her to stay around to, like, continue to block future LOIs.
So, we're going to fax this to your dad. Burn.
Golly. Alex Collins. He got a little run with the Seahawks again this year.
Really?
Just for a minute.
He was good at Arkansas.
He knows their playbook. They keep... It was weird, like, because of the rules with the practice squad. Like, he can't be on it. So they would have to cut him, and he just sits at home because they wanted to keep that, like, was it DJ Dallas or whatever? They wanted to keep him on. So, basically, Alex Collins just sitting there chilling at the house, like, Wednesday, Thursday, and then all of a sudden, boom, report. Alex Collins will be active on Sunday. And he's, like, at the – and then the first game that happened, he, like, let him in care because Chris Carson got hurt.
Yep.
And then their little back got hurt. That was fascinating to me. But he already knew the playbook, so he's like, yeah, I'll need to practice.
Cruton.
We'll zoom in or whatever.
Right.
God, he killed us that night we got up 14-0.
Yeah, he was really good that night. And that...
Drew Bennett.
Yeah, that's the
one. What's the guy? Hunter Henry.
I don't remember Henry. I remember Drew Bennett just running wide open on, like, slants and drags. We could not stay in front of him.
I think you and I were both in the press box.
I think we were, yeah.
And... you could just see it coming, like the pre-snap motion, like, oh, God.
And then right at the snap, he just put his foot in the ground and nobody within 10 yards every single time. Ah, the good old days. The good old days. Tennessee going to beat Auburn tomorrow?
Yeah, I think so.
No.
I think we get them. I think we'll make it a pretty nasty, gnarly game. They'll miss a bunch of shots and we'll win.
I'm just going to guess that Cooper doesn't play.
I got Tennessee 70, Auburn 64.
I really like that score, actually. Like, really like it.
Yeah, I'll take it, too. Just vice versa the teams.
Okay.
Reverse the teams.
So you think we're going to lose?
Yeah, we win, then we lose, and then just repeat.
Alex, you want to make a bold prediction?
Can I put conditions on it? If Cooper plays?
Mm-hmm.
If Cooper plays, I say we lose 78-70.
Mm-hmm.
If Cooper does not play, I say we win 74-68.
Those numbers sound solid to me.
It was Drew Morgan. I don't know why I always say Drew Bennett.
Yeah,
Drew
Morgan.
I was about to call out on that, but I was not really listening, so I just heard Drew Bennett, and you were talking about watching him in the press box, and I was like, that doesn't make sense.
No, Alex Collins had 27 carries for 154 and 2 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Late in the game, we could not touch that guy.
They only completed 11 passes as Arkansas won 24-20.
How many of them were to Morgan?
5.
Okay.
Hunter Henry had 3.
How many yards did he have on those 5 catches?
110.
That's what I thought, yeah. That's what I recalled.
Good Lord.
Indeed.
Butch, what are you doing?
Not his job.
Juwan Jennings played a snap at quarterback.
Drew Bennett's now 42. Threw a pass.
Hmm?
Drew Bennett's now 42.
42 mm. years old. Oops.
Ah, you win some, you lose some. I'll take Tennessee. I like Alex's conditional pick. I'll take Tennessee 72. Actually, no. Auburn's not a good defensive team. I'll take Tennessee 84-79.
Oh. It doesn't matter if they're good or bad at defense if you can't put the ball in the hoop.
No, but he's right. Auburn, it's like the South Carolina game. They're going to want to get up and down with mm-hmm. us, too. So that's why I missed that one so bad. I mean, even if we hadn't scored 93, like it was going to be a lot higher scoring than we thought.
Yeah, I mean, Auburn just Jalen this season, they have not been good.
Jalen Hurd and Alvin Kamara both had more yards receiving than any Tennessee receiver on the night that night. Josh Smith led you in receiver catches with – oh, no, I'm sorry. He led you in receiver yards with 34 on 2 catches. Vaughn Pearson had 3 catches for 30.
Oh, interesting fact of the day. Mitchell Trubisky is the only quarterback to ever play over 50 games in the NFL and never throw a pick 6.
I swear that 2015 team wow. could have won every game except – I mean, Alabama, and you could have won that one, too.
Had it won. Couldn't stop the back shoulder fade.
But after this damn Arkansas game, we're 2-3.
Yeah, but we'll beat Georgia the week after because we intercept ourselves.
If we lose Saturday, at least we get to beat Florida in our next game.
Good point by you.
Yep. Have a great weekend. We'll be back. The Blitz is next. Keep it locked in for more Fan Run Radio.